morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Marcus. We hope you're sitting back in this weekend morning just enjoying these long days, albeit the days are slowly getting shorter. Oh no, but the weather's nice. It's going to be in the 80s today. It's going to be 80s most of this week, and that was so good last week. I actually got out and played some golf in a 90-degree heat a couple of days, and I think I lost about a half a pound.
Okay.
Wasn't good enough.
I lost that fun. How many balls did you lose?
About 100 of them. All right. We do want you to sit back and enjoy the conversation with our next guest, Ms. JoJo Dries. And she's an author and speaker, and she's recently written a book, and it's called the Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy, and can be found on Amazon. It was released in 2018. It's not just a motivational book, but it's a gripping, detailed account, and I'm going to tease it right there. I'm going to let her take over because she has a fascinating conversation. Now, let me just kind of preface this conversation. Last week, I had on the president and CEO of Turning Point, and she talked briefly about some of the challenges that abuse victims go through and the solutions that they provide. So JoJo has a very gripping story. She has been all over the local and national media. She's been on in San Francisco and up New York and other major cities now, Detroit, talking about this book. So JoJo, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me here, Mark. I'm looking forward to this interview. I appreciate your time.
And I'm so pleased to have you, and I'm really curious about this story. So let's start with the very basics, though. Talk to me, JoJo. You are an author, and you published a book. So was this a massive undertaking? How did you do it? How would you describe the process?
Well, that's a great question, Mark. I think a lot of people, find it such a massive project to write a book. For me, since this was my personal story, I feel as though the book has been being written for much of my life. So it had marinated all these years, and it was just time to get it on paper. It took me about 3 months to write the book, and I self-published. The reason I self-published is because I didn't want a publisher or an editor dumbing down the story. It's a very raw account of the abuse that I went through, as well as the steps I took to get out of it, and I didn't want a publisher to tell me what I could and couldn't say.
What is the motivation for writing this book?
The motivation for writing the book is truly my passion is to help other people that are in a toxic relationship, whether that's a peer-to-peer at work, whether that's a boss and a peer, or whether that's a personal relationship, a friendship, a spouse, a significant other that's toxic for your life. My passion is to help people out of those situations.
So let's kind of unpack this, because you were very raw with me on the phone as we were preparing for this call. And I know you're listening this morning, you're saying, wow, Mark, this is a very deep conversation. Yes, it is. Because I think we need to have this conversation. There's a lot of things that are happening in this country right now. I'm not going to go there. This is a business show, but there are also a lot of personal and professional situations that JoJo has gone through. So she shared with me. So what I'm going to do is to pause and let you share with me some of the, however deep you want to get into, okay? Just kind of share your story that really became the motivation behind this book and some of the issues you had to overcome.
Mark, I really have a lot of respect for you for having me on the show. As you said, it is a business show, and it's a local story, and it's a community thing, and that's part of the reason I'm using my voice to help others, whether it's others in the community, in the business community, who are dealing with toxic situations at work, or whether it's personal relationships that they're dealing with. Essentially, my story began when I was a child and became very relevant as far as abuse when I was a child. So I was physically abused, emotionally abused, and sexually abused as a child and growing up. I come from a family of 6 children, and we had a family business. So if you remember The Godfather, the movie, it was very similar to that. So it was like we lived on a compound. We were homeschooled, home churched, and we had a home business. I also come from an ethnic background, but yet I always say my ethnicity is only part of this, right? So we live in a patriarchal society. My ethnicity is a patriarchal society, but additional to that, this country has a very patriarchal viewpoint. It's not just my ethnicity that I come from. And in fact, you'll find several people from my ethnicity that are the best people, the salt of the earth. So that abuse started as a child and then filtered through to our work situation. So as I said, we had our own businesses, several businesses. We traveled the country and traveled the world. So the way it relates to business as well is the voice. So I did not have a voice at work. I had several great ideas I would bring to the business table, but those ideas were poo-pooed. They were, oh no, you're just a woman. This is not a great idea. We would be in an attorney meeting. Oh, you need to be be quiet. Our attorney wants to talk to us. I would present, you know, creative notions at work, and those would be put to the side. No, you're not the breadwinner. You're just the back office worker. So this applies in business in the sense, are you being treated that way at work?
And obviously a lot of this now has been enhanced, unfortunately, as part of the Me Too movement. And I say unfortunately because a lot of these exposures should have come out years ago.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And now all of a sudden these exposures, these different types of abuses have become full throttle in the last 12, 18 months because of Me Too. But this has been going on, it sounds like, in your life for a long time, starting on your home front.
For a long time. And I think because we have a culture of silence in this country and in our work environments and so forth, it's a culture of silence. I think what's going to define our generation is the voices that speak out against this. So the Me Too movement that started, you know, several years ago, and I think a lot of people don't know, but if you look up where the Me Too movement started, it did not start with a Hollywood tweet.
Yeah,
it, in fact, started, you know, with somebody that was trying to help women similarly to what I'm trying
except
to do.
Except that the women were not listened to back then.
Were not listened
Everything
to.
Was swept under the rug.
Yes.
And now, all of a sudden, it's out in the open. It's a lot of guys are running scared.
Yep. And there's another. So there was a survey that was released that 17% of men are being more cautious at work. And what I say to that survey and to others that are saying, oh, men are trying to be more cautious, is no, it's not about being more cautious because that frames women as being sensitive. What it's about is changing a thought culture, changing the culture of this is common behavior. This is okay behavior. It is not okay behavior. Never has been, but it's systematically been ingrained in our society that this behavior towards women and towards the thought of lesser than is okay, and it's no longer okay.
We're talking to JoJo Dries, and she's the author of The Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy, and she's just giving you a very personal story, a very personal account of what's happening. So a lot of times when people come out and they speak out in public about something that's very personal to a lot of people that's been swept underneath the rug, there's backlash. And so you have a very personal story. Like I said in my opening comments, you're getting interviews all over the country right now. Have you received a lot of backlash for coming this before coming public and sharing your story in such a way?
So, yes, I have definitely received a lot of backlash. I, in fact, had a message last night, a private message, again, just sort of bashing the whole thought of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And here's the thing. The reason that women and the reason that people don't speak out that are in an abusive situation, again, whether that's at work or at home, is for fear of the backlash. One of the major reasons that people don't use their voice is because this backlash that is so commonplace in our society. We are shamed to speak. It is a fear. There's fear of repercussion. There's fear of, you know, your community backlashing against you. And there's a lot of people that spoke to me prior to me even doing these interviews saying, you know, be careful. You know, you're and I'm a brown woman. So here I am. An Arab woman, you know, we're considered brown women. So they say to me, don't put that out there because now this is a reputation for our people. What I'm trying to do is vocalize for the women and children that are being abused within our culture saying, hey, it's okay to speak out. And the same thing at work. So if you're at work and your peers are treating you incorrectly, if you're at work and your boss is treating you incorrectly, or you have a toxic situation, that's where my seminars come in, where I'm saying, instead of fearing that backlash, bring somebody like me in who can help bring a voice to this and communicate.
And how can people remove themselves that toxic relationship situation at work, whatever it might be? What are some tips?
So I have 7 steps that I've put in my book, and I'm going around the country telling people about these 7 steps because I feel as though it's universal if you implement these. The major steps are, first, stop living in denial. I think we've been ingrained and taught to live in this denial that it's okay or it's normal behavior. First, get yourself out of the mindset that it's okay, because it's not. And a lot of people say, well, you know, go find help or go seek help. But it's not about seeking help, because if you could have sought help, you would have sought help. What it is, and I said to you in our preliminary call, is I could have moved out 10 years before I did from the toxic situation I was in. But it took that last time, the last time he laid hands on me, when I said, I will never be touched this way ever again in my life, for me to finally move out. And so it's finding that internal rock bottom that says this is not okay. And then the other thing is, search for your tribe, right? Search for your solution. Search for your tribe. I would stay up till all hours of the night reading books. And it wasn't just motivational books. It was, you know, books about people that had gone through something to then remove themselves from it. And then prepare to have some wins and some fails. You're going to fall on your face because you've never done this before, and you're going to have some massive wins. But with those wins, experience the healing. I think this is one of the most important things that's not talked about, is the healing that needs to be done in this situation.
You know, again, a very deep conversation this morning with JoJo Dries. I have a son and a daughter. I want to make sure I'm in full disclosure. And I've told both of them clearly, I mean, you know, your personal space is your personal space. Yeah. And no one should certainly say or do anything to you inappropriately. No questions asked in the story. And you're listening this morning, I want you to look at her. Well, you can't. I can see her. And don't get I can see her. But listen to the passion of her voice. And I want you to listen to how, and I'm looking at her right now. She's very animated. She's into the conversation. She's very passionate. She's also a speaker. She's a public speaker. Talk to our listeners in our closing couple of minutes together. Talk to them about where can they find you? Where can they go hear you speak?
Sure. So if you would like to continue the conversation or bring me on to speak at your firm, you can find me on my website, jojodries.com. I have contact pages, my email, my phone number. It can all be found on there. Right now, I have a webinar scheduled in October. I have a seminar scheduled in Florida. But for the local people, if you'd like to bring me on board to speak at any corporate events or as a keynote or on a panel, feel free to find me on my website.
And without obviously identifying any corporations or any businesses, I'll be blunt. Are the number of speaking engagements increasing in light of what's going on across the country?
They are definitely increasing as what's happening across the country, because I think employers are realizing that this conversation needs to be had amongst their team, and they need to bring people like me in who've experienced something like this to then help their team.
So when you have this conversation, say, have a major organization, I got to ask you point blank. I worked in corporate for over 25 years. We all gone through the training sessions, a webinar. We've done it all, right? My question is, though, do people actually speak up in those situations, or are they afraid to ask questions out of fear of repercussions?
Fabulous question, Mark. And I'm seeing this as I'm speaking. Yes, they are afraid to ask, even in an environment like that. Now, I get pulled on the side. There's always a group of people that pull me on the side afterwards that have their own personal story they want to share with me or ask questions on. And I get a lot of emails post the event. But still, we're seeing where they're not wanting to vocalize that in the seminar publicly.
And how can, again, I know you referenced earlier about the conversation with you, but the website, where can people buy the book? And the book, again, one more time, still Lotus, How I Beat the Patriarchy. And it's a gripping story, but how can people find more information about it, buy it?
Absolutely. So I'm selling it exclusively right now on Amazon. You can buy a Kindle version, or you can buy a paperback, and then you can find me on my website, jojodries.com.
All I have to say is, wow. And I got to tell you, I've been doing this for 4.5 years. We've had great conversations with a lot of great people. Dope, we've had a lot of personal conversations with people. You know, Lynn Barney, yep. and some others share stories with us. This is really incredible.
Yep. It's, you know, it's real. It's a real problem. And, it is a real problem.
Mm-hmm. And so for Dope to be speechless and for me to say, wow, you've really touched on a nerve. I hope people are listening this morning. I don't mean me personally, because I haven't done any of that. But I'm saying I hope you've taken this conversation seriously. And if you have issues or challenges, reach out and get the right help. And that's why we had this conversation this morning. JoJo Dries, I want to thank you very much. You're a joy.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mark, for having me here. It's an honor to be here, and good for you for having this conversation this publicly.
Well, thank you. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley. Again, that was JoJo Dries, a great author and a public speaker. Hi, I'm Mark Esley, and thank you for listening to Small Talk, and thank you for your continued support. I hope you're enjoying the conversation with a great lineup of guests who continue to provide you with the best in business talk, focus on entrepreneurship and small business development. Now, allow me to take a moment to talk to you about Liberty Group. TLG is a Detroit area strategic marketing company focused on providing consulting services in the areas of strategic planning, marketing, integrated communications, and training and development. As president and founder of the Lead Group, I have years of experience helping companies develop marketing strategies to build productive relationships with consumers while delivering measurable results. And we can help your company. Interested? Please contact me and let's start a discussion about your company. For more information, please go to leadgroupinnovation.com. That's leadgroupinnovation.com.
no one knows the neighborhoods like The Hub. That's why Small Talk with Mark Esley is proud to partner with a newsmaker that has its pulse on what and where neighborhood investments are happening throughout Metro Detroit, as well as opportunities around the corner. Together, we are leaders in Detroit's neighborhood growth. Subscribe or visit thehubdetroit.com. That's thehubdetroit.com. And continue to listen to Small Talk with Mark Esley, Sunday mornings from 8 till 9.
Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying your weekend in the middle part of August. Yeah, we got the Tigers are going. We got the Lions playing preseason. I'm just loving this time of the year, dog. I got to tell you, it's just so cool.
Yeah, it is. The sun's going down early, but then, you know, it's starting to turn.
Okay. You just changed my whole mood.
I'm sorry.
All right. As you know, this part of the show, I had to give my shout-outs. And first one is to AM 1270 for giving me this forum every single week to have a conversation with you. Also, you may be listening here in the Motor City, reading your free press or reading your mobile technology. We want you to sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation. Or you might be listening across the country on one of our many .coms. This show is streamed via radio.com. LeadGroupInnovation.com, WWJPlus.com, SoundCloud.com, and TheHubDetroit.com. So if you're sitting in your local market across the country reading your local newspaper or mobile technology, just sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee with our next guest, Miss Annie Van Gilderen, and she is with the Birmingham Bloomfield Arts Center, and she's on the board of directors. She's been on the board of directors since 2003, and she assumed a full-time volunteer staff position as Enterprises Director. And Annie, I want to thank you very much for coming in and joining me. Thanks for joining me. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you're actually a volunteer for the organization, is that right?
I was a volunteer. I'm now the president and CEO since 2011.
Thanks for the clarification. So she's the president and CEO, and she started as a volunteer. So it's a great example of someone volunteering and then stepping up in the role in a leadership position.
Absolutely. When you find your passion, there's something about propelling you, and you never know how things will turn out. And I never expected to be the president and CEO. I started there as a student and eventually started fundraising for the Art Center, was tapped to be on the board, started teaching there, and then took on that full-time volunteer role until I was tapped for president and CEO.
I've heard a lot of great things about you.
Oh, well, thank you.
See, word travels far and fast. So let's start the basics. Talk to us about the Birmingham Bloomfield Arts Center. What is it? I know it's a nonprofit, but talk to us about the organization and its primary mission, and then we'll unpack specifically about a couple programs you're focused on.
Great. It's a nonprofit. We focus on visual arts. We've been around. We're celebrating our 61st year at the Arts Center. We offer over 500 classes every year for preschool to retirees. I'd say 3 to 9.